Shogger, the trend of terrible starts continues for the Edmonton Oilers. That's 8 of their last 11 games where they have allowed the first goal. And, well, they scrapped back, made it close, had a 4-on-3 power play, ultimately could not get it done. And the lack of production from the bottom eight continues.
Yeah, kind of similar stories that we've been talking about the last little while here. You know, and this not being able to start on time and falling behind in games is kind of like everybody's wondering after that start that they had if it was sustainable or not. And that was just another thing to put in the column of reasons why it's not sustainable. You know, you just can't play from behind that much. So, yeah, more of the same. Detroit's a fast team, and they really pushed the pace against the Oilers, and they couldn't handle it. They buckled. Like, they seemed like they were about a quarter second behind the pace that Detroit was playing at. You know, and that includes Edmonton's top line for most of that game. Like, McDavid, they were dominated by that other top line for most of that game. Shot share the whole bit, scoring chances. So right through the lineup, yeah, not fast enough. And Detroit's a team that they don't have a ton, but what they do have can move pretty well, and the Oilers were victims last night of that.
Yeah, I love the way you frame that, because right from the get-go, like, Edmonton didn't even kind of get going. It wasn't like they were like, oh, there was a nice play. Like, they were under the gun right away, but I think that's a desperate team over there in Detroit. The Oilers should have been as well, but they either didn't recognize or weren't able to rise up to match what Detroit was bringing out.
No, they weren't. And, you know, I mean, like the McDavid line. McDavid played 14 and a half minutes at even strength against Dylan Larkin. And, you know, the shot share and the Corsi and all that head-to-head stuff, like, it wasn't even close. The ice was totally tilted. The scoring chances were 11-4, you know, in Larkin's favor. So when it starts at the top line and they're going to struggle and have a night where they're in a tough matchup, now what do you got left, right? And, again, it's we say it over and over again, but if McDavid and Draisaitl can't figure out a way to push the offensive cause far enough, they just don't have a chance at winning games. And that continued. I'm not sure what gets them out of it. I mean, you know, the Oilers might well win tonight, but my guess is if they do, it's going to be because of McDavid and Draisaitl. You know, when we start talking about, man, quiet night from those two, but the Oilers found a way, that's when progress will start on the most important deficiency. And, you know, we haven't had that conversation yet.
It's kind of unfair, as we're joined by Ryan Rashog, TSN bureau chief here at Edmonton, to always put it on them. But there was a real opportunity at 4-on-3 power play for them to do it. And what I saw was a team trying to force feed Leon Draisaitl that cross ice one timer. You know, is there a way, or can you envision a way where there's another option on that other than, because it's not just the 4-on-3. I think we've seen it 5-on-5 a lot too, trying to get, and it worked on the first goal, no doubt, but you know, you can only bang on that drum so many times.
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of cross-ice attempts being broken up. Like, you know, even Draisaitl off the rush. A lot of times he's stepping over the blue line and they're trying to filter stuff through sticks and it's just not there. So, I mean, you got to let guys create, and these guys know how to create. But at times they get stuck, and I completely agree with you. It was all about that pass across ice to Draisaitl to try and unload from over there. And it just, the Red Wings knew it was coming. They would fake down a little bit to make the lane look like it was open, but their sticks were in great position, and they took it away every single time. And it was a nice job by them on that. Yeah, there is something they can do. They can stick a right shot at the point that has an opportunity to blast away from there a little bit. Because as long as it's just Draisaitl over on that side, that is the only quick shot opportunity they have.
Yeah, and I think that's right, but another option that you maybe could use is the down low play on the other side. You know, so that might mean putting Chase on. I know it's maybe not ideal, but, you know, the play where they go down from, it would be, I guess, Klefbom down to Nuge, down to the guy beside the net who pops it back up to, in this case, Leon. But we haven't seen that for a while, right?
They're in the bumper, like a quick one-timer out to the middle.
Yeah, because they're not really using that. They're just constantly pushing it to the other side. And, you know, I think maybe a refresher, say, hey, like, again, I'm not going to criticize really creative guys. We say, hey, guys, look, we can do this. This has worked before. Let's take a look at this, because I think refreshing their options just to go back. Otherwise, it's the same thing. Just feed it back cross door, trying to get to Leon.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and listening to the broadcast yesterday, it sounded like they had tried some different stuff in practice in the morning skate, I think it was, where they had maybe moved some and adjusted some stuff around. I think it was Louis doing the game. I think he was talking about expecting a bit of a different look on the power play. We didn't really see it necessarily. So it sounds like they tried to shake it up a little bit. We'll see if they get more of an opportunity to give that look an opportunity tonight. But there, early in the year, there were some new things we were seeing. The one-touch pass you talk about, we were seeing a couple of different set plays. There's a McDavid from the right side, quick pass onto Leon's backhand that he spins and like takes to his forehand and fires. There's a few things here and there that have looked dangerous, but right now it's getting back to being a little bit too stagnant and too many left shots. It's too many left shots. Where there's very little chance for guys to get the puck and get it off their stick quickly.
Shager, so you mentioned putting a right shot. There's only two right shot defensemen that are an option. Which one would you plop up there?
I'd probably give Ethan Bear a look. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this a few games ago and said that if the power play continues to be stagnant, I would give him a look. And, you know, what you can do is you can do the same thing with Ethan Bear and Oscar Klefbom that you do with Chase on and James Neal on the power play. So you start Ethan Bear with the first half of the power play, and then after a clear, if it's not working, after he dishes off to McDavid for the entry, then you change and you throw the other guy out there. Give it a couple of different looks. Have a power play that can set up a couple of different ways. I get that they want to have the main unit out there, but Ethan Bear walks the line as well as any of the Oilers defensemen. You got a nice shot from back there, and I think it would give them some variety and some options that they need to try and find, because I think it is getting stagnant with that left shot there year after year after year with all of these left shot forwards.
Well, to me, it's a lack of urgency on their power play, too. They're getting too pretty. The left shots were fine when they were rolling, but now they're looking for the same plays all the time, and their zone entries haven't been good. Lack of urgency in a lot of different areas, from their power play to their five-on-five play. They're not giving up a whole bunch, although last night, hey, I don't think we talked about enough. Mikko Koskinen, another outstanding start in goal for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, another good night for him, and that bodes really well. Even the one that beat him, high glove, it felt like Ethan Bear was coming through his line of vision as he got beat up high, so don't necessarily even hang that one on him too much. They're getting some good goaltending from him, and that needs to continue. That makes a big difference for him, but again, you know, until you can put another line on the ice and feel like they've got a chance to be a threat, this team is just so severely behind every single game by virtue of the fact that there's only a couple of guys that can move the needle for them.
Yeah, it is a challenge. I don't know. Do you think that Ken Holland feels pressure to do something?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think I don't think Ken Holland will feel pressure for a while here. You know, I think he sort of showed up in town like, yeah, you know, okay, let's do this. And he was pretty realistic about the timeline and pretty realistic about his plan. So, no, I don't think there's a ton of pressure for him to get something done. We all know what the cap situation is. We all know that just handing Puljujärvi away for nothing is not smart. And to sit tight until there's a trade that makes sense. We all know that it's not easy to go out and find forwards. So, I mean, he's got pressure to try and make a really good deal that helps his team right now because, you know, that would be good for them. But no pressure in the sense of if he doesn't, then the heat's on in some way. I just don't see us being anywhere near even that part of the conversation yet.
Yeah, see, I'm with you. I think he rides it out. I think this is on Tippett. Yeah. And whether that's fair or not, you know, he's like, this is the hand you've been dealt. Try to figure something out. How do you find a little juice? Now, I'm still not into really calling him up for the minors, but maybe you could bring up an Energizer Bunny. I don't know if Garm Bardella is that guy or, you know.
No. You can't be an Energizer Bunny if you can't skate at NHL speed. Okay. And that's just a problem that they have in the American League.
That's fair.
To me, Struds, all of the guys, Brad Malone, Josh Curry, even Benson to a degree, Cooper Marody, these guys that are good American League players, they get nothing done in the NHL because they can't skate at an NHL level yet, at least not at above average enough speed to get anything done. So they just don't have a lot of options down there.
Yeah, and maybe not enough centermen either.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, considering, you know, Gaetan Haas is going to continue getting looks. I mean, they've got issues. So, you know, as we talked about many times, you know, Yamamoto is playing well. He's a guy that skates at NHL speed and is putting some points in right now. So if, again, what have they lost, guys? Is it 4 out of 5 they've lost?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get to that point and you start to go back to the pack and nobody's producing, there comes a point in time where you say, okay, look, just, you know, tell the guy he's coming up for 2 games, throw him into 2 games, split up Draisaitl and McDavid if you need to, or however you need to get him playing with, you know, on the top 6 line, do it and see what he does. You know, maybe Kaveh Yamamoto comes up and ends up with 3 points in 2 games and you're going, holy, okay. I just don't think it hurts anything. If it goes too much longer with zeros on the board through the rest of these guys, it starts to, I mean, you need to do something to shake things up.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to do something, but some players just got to play a little bit better. We'll see if they have at least an ability to start the game on time tonight. We will find out in about 2 hours' time. Shogger, have a good one.
Yeah, talk to you guys tomorrow. See ya.